History books state that Islam was sent down to the city of Mecca in the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and that the Prophet of Islam and his followers immigrated later to the Medina to establish the first geographic entity for this religion. If Islam emerged and grew up in the lands of Hejaz and the Arabian Peninsula, then why do Muslims have such reverence for this city? Why do they cherish it that much? The establishment of Jerusalem dates back to more than 4,000 years BC. Jerusalem is the first documented name for this city. It appears twice in the Amarna letters. Those letters are slabs inscribed in the cuneiform writing system of the Akkadian languages. The letters were found in the archives of King Akhenaten in the area of Tell El Amarna in Egypt. The name Jerusalem means city of peace. Under the rule of Jebusite king Melchizedek, they gave it their name, Jabus. Under the Romans' reign of the Mediterranean region, they called it Alia Capitolina. In the later period of the Middle Ages, it was called Al-Quds, which means the Holy House.
Jerusalem is a unique city. It's one of the most important ancient cities throughout history. This city was established on three hills. The first one is known as the Hill of Ophel. This hill was the center on which the city was established. The second hill is Moriah, on which Al-Aqsa Mosque was built. And the third is the Hill of Bezetha, located in Bab el-Sahira. The city was established on those three hills. It's surrounded with very deep valleys, like the Kidron Valley and Hinnom Valley. The valleys and mountains surrounding them represent the geography of the city. The city of Jerusalem was established 4,500 years ago. It was established on the Hill of Ophel, known today as Wadi Hilwa, located in the East Jerusalem neighborhood of Silwan. It was established during the Canaanite-Jebusites era, and it was called Jebus. The city was also famous for worshipping and obedience. The king of the city was Melchizedek. King Melchizedek was mentioned in the letters of Tell El Amarna, which proves that Jerusalem has a deep-rooted, magnificent history. Jerusalem was established 3,500 BC or 2,500 BC. This proves that the city has always been an Arabic Palestine city, ever since it was established before the Iron Age. The age marks the coming of Prophet David, peace be upon him, to the city of Jerusalem, but it was for a short time though. Then the city was rebuilt when Empress Helena was in Jerusalem. At the time of Empress Helena, the city was transferred from above the Hill of Ophel, or the Canaanite area in Silwan, to the area where the Church of the Holy Sepulchre was built. It was transferred from the south side to the western side, where it was rebuilt. Al-Aqsa Mosque became an inseparable part in this city, which was later named Jerusalem. But by the time of Empress Helena, it was called Aila Capitolina.
The Holy City, the House of the Holy, the Holy One, the Holy Sanctuary. These are names given by Muslims to this city. They are names reflecting the city's status for sanctity for Muslims. Islam obligates Muslims to believe in all prophets and messengers sent prior to Islam. And because some prophets are linked to this city, whether for living some of their lives there or they passed by the city, it is of a great importance for Muslims. Prophet Abraham passed by this city, in addition to the prophets Lot, David, Solomon, Zechariah, Jonah, Jesus, the son of Mary, ending with the prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon all of them.
Prophet Abraham was neither a Jew nor Christian, as mentioned in the Quran. Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, has nothing to do with the Jews, because Judaism was revealed centuries later. Second, the Quran refutes the claim that Jerusalem is a Jewish city. The Holy Quran prohibits the Jews from the entire Palestine land because they disobeyed the commands of Allah. Because they did not obey, Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, and Almighty Allah, say in the Quran, then indeed it is forbidden to them. That means Palestine is forbidden to them because of their disobedience and rebellion, and because they said, we will never enter it until they leave it, but if they leave it, then we will enter. That means they want a land without a people. They wanted to enter Palestine without facing her people inside.
Isra and Miraj, the miraculous night journey of Prophet Muhammad. It is two parts of a miraculous journey that Prophet Muhammad took in one night from Mecca to Jerusalem and then an ascension to the heavens. In Jerusalem, the prophets of God Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and others were waiting for Prophet Muhammad to lead them in prayer. This wall was called Al-Baraq, referring to Al-Baraq, the name of the heavenly steed on which the Prophet rode on his nocturnal journey from Mecca to Jerusalem and then to the heavens. Praying is the second pillar of Islam, and because Jerusalem is such a holy place for Muslims, they were commanded by God to pray facing Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem. Then later they were commanded to change their Qibla, which means the direction they take while praying. They turned to pray toward Al-Kaaba in Mecca.
When the journey of Isra and Mi'raj took place, it represented a new turning point in the history of the city and gave it great value. During the first 13 years of Islam in Mecca, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, headed towards Al-Aqsa Mosque in prayers with Al-Kaaba in between. The Al-Aqsa Mosque was the spiritual direction for all those who worshipped Allah Almighty. Also, the worshippers in Judaism and Christianity headed to Jerusalem.
The Dome of the Rock is one of the most famous sites of the old city Jerusalem. It was given that name because it was built on the rock from which Prophet Muhammad ascended to heavens in the miraculous journey of Isra and Mi'raj. Aqsa Mosque is located not far from this dome. This mosque is the first Qibla of Muslims and the third holy mosque after the Grand Holy Mosque in Mecca and the Prophet's Mosque in Medina. Muslims have such a high regard for Aqsa Mosque. One prayer in this mosque equals 500 prayers anywhere else. It is one of three mosques to which Islam allowed and encouraged traveling to pray in them. The Jews claim that the alleged Solomon's Temple is located some meters or maybe kilometers under these sacred Islamic locations.
The precinct of the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the area surrounded by its wall is about 144,000 square meters. One of its landmarks is the Yellow Dome, or the Dome of the Rock, and the Grey Dome above the Qibli Mosque. This mosque was established 40 years after the sacred mosque in Mecca, when Prophet Muhammad was asked which mosque was built first. He said, "The sacred mosque is the Al-Aqsa Mosque." Then he was asked how much time between the two. He said 40 years. That means it's existed since the beginning of creation. Almighty Allah determined the spot of the Holy Kaaba, where Prophet Ibrahim and his son Prophet Ismail raised its foundations. Allah defined the place of the blessed Aqsa Mosque, and he named it. So Aqsa Mosque is heavenly named by a heavenly decision. All the precincts surrounded by the wall of the mosque is 144,000 square meters, and that represented the biggest mosque on earth at a certain time. Israelis can claim whatever they want and say whatever they want, but the facts on the ground proves the total opposite of what they say. All the historians, archaeologists, scholars, those who have religious knowledge and anthropologists know that this city is originally Arabic. The Canaanite tribe of Jebusites built this city and inhabited it for thousands of years. When the first Hebrews entered the city, the Canaanite Jebusites were the inhabitants of the city for more than 200 years. Those Hebrews were dismissed from the Arabian Peninsula, or they came from the region behind the Caspian Sea.
Today, they say that this mosque is built on the ruins of their temple, and the Barak Wall is part of the remains of the alleged temple wall. They claim that this city is the original homeland of the Jews that they inherited generation after generation. The Jews claim that they have a historical right in Jerusalem because it is part of the promised land that God promised to give Prophet Abraham, according to the Torah. "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing."
It's well known that all the excavations that have been taking place since 1967 and until this moment did not lead to finding even one rock that has any link with the Jewish or Hebrew history. They used to make excavations before 1967, but under the name of archaeological discoveries through the British School of Archaeology and foreign archaeologists. They'd been coming to Palestine ever since the 17th century, looking for the Jewish identity, but under the name of studying Palestine archaeology, and they did not find one stone to prove any Jewish history. All the excavations that were done in Jerusalem, not only the 56 Israeli excavations which are increasing in number till this moment, all the excavations during the British colonial ruling, and even before the British, there were excavations during the Ottoman ruling. All these excavations till our day prove that the city have 19 archaeological layers on top of each other. The beginning and end of these 19 layers are known. The first of those layers is Canaanite. That means it's a pure Canaanite Arabic city. Jerusalem is part of the Levant. It is a pearl of the Levant region. It is also the extension of the Arabian Peninsula. So, we are the people of Levant. We are the people of Jerusalem, and we are the extension of the Arabian Peninsula, which ends with the Red Sea. This is why the early Arabic migrations from Yemen and Hejaz arrived to Palestine and populated it.
The Pact of Umar to the people of Jerusalem, 15 AH. In the name of Allah, the Merciful, the Compassionate, this is the assurance of safety which the servant of Allah, Umar, the commander of the faithful, has given the people of Jerusalem. He has given them an assurance of safety for themselves, their property, their churches, their crosses, the sick and healthy of the city, and for all the rituals which belong to their religion. Their churches will not be inhabited by Muslims and will not be destroyed. Neither they, nor the land on which they stand, nor their cross, nor their property will be damaged. They will not be forcibly converted. No Jew will live with them in Jerusalem. The people of Jerusalem must pay the taxes, like the people of other cities, and must expel the Byzantines and the robbers. Those of the people of Jerusalem who want to leave with the Byzantines, take their property and abandon their churches and crosses, will be safe until they reach their place of refuge. The villagers may remain in the city, if they wish, but must pay taxes like the citizens. Those who wish may go with the Byzantines, and those who wish may return to their families. Nothing is to be taken from them before their harvest is reaped. If they pay their taxes according to their obligations, then the conditions laid out in this letter are under the covenant of Allah, are the responsibility of His Prophet, of the Caliphs, and of the faithful.
Since Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, the messenger of Judaism, was born in Egypt, and he never set foot in Palestine or Jerusalem at all, as he died in Sinai, as mentioned in the Torah, then giving the city a Jewish identity is mere fabrication. The Torah and legislations of Moses have nothing to do with Jerusalem and Palestine.
Unfortunately, the Muslims don't realize the importance of Jerusalem in general. They do not realize that Jerusalem is like the sacred city of Mecca and Medina. Al-Aqsa Mosque is as important as the sacred mosque in Mecca and the Prophet's mosque in Medina. This is the problem that we face today, that Muslims do not realize that Jerusalem is the gate between the earth and the heavens. It is the gate between the heavens and earth. They do not realize that Jerusalem has been honored by Almighty Allah as He connects it with the holy cities of Mecca and Medina. Allah honors Jerusalem by obliging Muslims with prayers, which is one of the pillars of Islam. Praying was obligated upon Muslims in the heavens above Jerusalem on the night of Isra and Mi'raj. The duty of every free man is to support Jerusalem in the three tracks. The first track, if we want to protect Jerusalem, we have to protect the inhabitants of Jerusalem. That means providing the education and enlightenment for the people. We should support them to be able to stay and live in Jerusalem without problems. The second track, I think we should preserve the history of the city. Jerusalem contains a lot of history. The visual site of this city represents and shows a lot of history. When you see the alleys and streets of the city, when you see the sites, the sacred places, you would see how beautiful and sacred the city is. We have to protect these sacred places because they represent our Arabic, Palestinian, and Islamic identities. The third track is the daily life in the city of Jerusalem. That means the people of the city should unite, they should put together new programs to create a new reality. This new reality should be love and brotherhood. And let's not forget that these three tracks cannot be completed unless we find Arabic and Islamic protection to support the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the sanctities, the identity, and the civilization of this holy city.
سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير